Here's an uncomfortable truth. You're not the hero of your own story. You're more like a vehicle, a survival machine built by millions of microscopic puppeteers who've been running the show for 4 billion years. These puppeteers are your genes, and they're not working for you. You're working for them. This isn't science fiction. It's the radical insight at the heart of one of the most influential biology books ever written. When Bill Gates listed his favorite reads, this one made the cut for fundamentally changing how we think about the natural world. Pop culture references to its ideas appear everywhere, from sci-fi novels to rock lyrics. What makes it so captivating? A paradox. The cold machinery of genetic selection created everything warm and human about us. Love, cooperation, even our ability to rebel against our own programming. Life didn't start with divine inspiration. It started with a molecular accident. Picture early Earth, a chemical soup of water, methane, and ammonia, energized by lightning and sunlight. Somewhere in this primordial broth, a molecule formed that could do something remarkable: copy itself. This first replicator wasn't sophisticated, probably something like RNA, maybe simpler, but it had one trick that changed everything. It attracted surrounding molecules and bound them into a pattern matching its own structure. When the chain grew long enough, it split, two replicators where there'd been one. Copying wasn't perfect. Mistakes happened, molecular typos. Most created duds that vanished. But occasionally, an error produced something better, a variant that replicated faster, lasted longer, or copied more accurately. Over millions of years, these replicators competed for limited building blocks. The best survived. Some replicators discovered a game-changing strategy, building protective shells around themselves. These primitive containers, the first crude cell walls, shielded them from harsh environments and kept valuable materials close. Other replicators learned to break down rivals and steal their components. The arms race escalated. Fast forward 4 billion years. Those ancient replicators haven't died out. They've flourished beyond imagination. We call them genes now. They swarm in huge colonies inside gigantic lumbering robots, the bodies of plants, animals, and humans. They created us, body and mind, and their preservation is the ultimate reason we exist. This flips everything. We think bodies use genes to reproduce. The truth? Bodies are elaborate vehicles genes built to ensure their own reproduction. We're not the protagonists. We're the survival machines genes constructed to help them persist through time. Your body isn't unified. It's a colony of genes ensuring their survival. Unable to directly control behavior, genes build nervous systems programmed with survival strategies. Your brain's 10 billion neurons, each connected to thousands of others, form a biological computer for pattern recognition and decision-making. Animals evolved rapid movement, hundreds of thousands of times faster than plants, enabling active resource-seeking and danger avoidance. Goal-directed behavior emerges through negative feedback. Systems detect gaps between current and desired states and close them, creating purposiveness without conscious intention. Genes face a fundamental challenge, programming vehicles to predict an uncertain world. Every decision gambles with gene survival as currency. At a waterhole, an animal balances predation risk against dehydration. Genes build brains that gamble correctly. One solution is mental simulation, modeling possible futures rather than learning through fatal trial and error. This capacity may have culminated in subjective consciousness, survival machines gaining independence from their genetic masters. When survival machines encounter each other, conflict often results. Resources are limited, and what one organism gains, another loses. Yet animal aggression shows puzzling restraint. Fights between the same species are often ritualized displays rather than lethal combat. The solution comes from game theory, specifically the evolutionarily stable strategy, a behavioral policy that, once adopted by most population members, cannot be bettered by an alternative. Consider two strategies: hawk, fight unrestrainedly, and dove, display but retreat if escalated. In an all-dove population, a hawk mutant thrives. In an all-hawk population, doves avoid costly injuries. The population stabilizes where average payoffs equalize. More sophisticated strategies like Retaliator, begin as dove but respond as hawk if attacked, prove evolutionarily stable, explaining why serious fighting is rare. Where physical combat is rare, disputes become wars of attrition. Victory goes to whoever persists longest. The stable strategy isn't fixed persistence, but unpredictable duration, averaging the resource's value. Real contests involve asymmetries, fighting ability, resource value, or arbitrary differences like who arrived first. Even arbitrary asymmetries create stable strategies. A rule like, if resident, attack, if intruder, retreat, becomes stable once established, explaining territorial behavior across species. The selfish gene isn't one physical DNA bit. It's all replicas distributed worldwide. This explains how genes assist copies in other bodies, appearing as individual altruism but representing gene selfishness. William Hamilton showed mathematically that siblings share a relatedness coefficient of 0.5, half of varying genes. Parent-child relationships also have 0.5 relatedness. For distant relatives, probability halves with each generational step. Uncles and nephews share 0.25, first cousins 0.125. This explains why altruistic behaviors evolve to benefit close relatives. A gene for saving five brothers, total relatedness 2.5, would spread, while one for saving four cousins, total relatedness 0.5, wouldn't. Animals don't consciously calculate relatedness. They follow genetic programming approximating such calculations. Since relatedness estimates are rarely certain, animals need simple recognition rules. In species with limited movement, be nice to any member of your species might explain altruistic behavior in monkey troops and whale schools. Brood parasites like cuckoos exploit this by triggering be nice to any small bird in your nest, creating an evolutionary arms race where host birds evolve egg recognition while cuckoos evolve perfect mimicry. Sexual conflict runs deeper than parent-offspring tension because mates share no genes except through children. Each partner benefits by forcing the other to invest more. The fundamental asymmetry: males produce countless tiny sperm, while females produce fewer, larger eggs carrying both genes and nutrients. This lets males potentially father many offspring rapidly, while females remain limited by greater per-child investment. Though both want equal numbers of sons and daughters, they disagree about who bears the costs. Females invest more initially, making them vulnerable to desertion. To avoid exploitation, females leverage valuable eggs by refusing to mate until conditions are met. The domestic bliss strategy involves females being coy, demanding males invest heavily before mating. Building nests or providing food makes desertion unprofitable. The he-man strategy involves females accepting no paternal help and instead securing superior genes through ruthless discrimination. Most females agree on the best males, so few lucky males monopolize mating. Extravagant features like peacock tail evolved through runaway selection. Longer tails indicated health. Females choosing them produced longer-tailed sons, creating a self-reinforcing cycle until tails grew so grotesque that disadvantages finally outweighed sexual attractiveness. Humans are unique because of culture. Cultural transmission resembles genetic transmission, fundamentally conservative yet evolving far faster than genes. Languages change so rapidly that Chaucer couldn't understand modern English despite only 20 generations separating us. Life evolves through differential survival of replicating entities. DNA molecules are our primary replicators, but a new kind has emerged: memes, units of cultural transmission spreading through imitation, tunes, ideas, catchphrases, fashions, techniques. Like genes, memes propagate by leaping from brain to brain. When you plant a fertile meme in my mind, you literally parasitize my brain, turning it into a vehicle for propagation, just as viruses parasite cells. The God meme persists by providing psychologically appealing answers and comfort. Memes form co-adapted complexes enhancing mutual survival. Religious meme complexes exemplify this. Hellfire perpetuates through psychological impact. Faith discourages rational inquiry. Priestly celibacy maximizes meme transmission time. Memes offer immortality, genes cannot. Our genetic contribution halves each generation until negligible, but memes, ideas, inventions, theories persist intact indefinitely. Socrates' genes vanished, but his meme complex remains powerful. Cultural traits may evolve not because they benefit humans, but because they benefit themselves. We are survival machines, robot vehicles blindly programmed to preserve the selfish molecules known as genes. This truth still fills me with astonishment. Though our genes built us to serve them, we have the power to rebel against our creators. Genes have no foresight. They are unconscious, blind replicators. We, however, have evolved brains capable of genuine foresight, the capacity to simulate the future in imagination and choose our actions accordingly. We can even cultivate pure, disinterested altruism, something that has never existed before in the whole history of the world. This is the paradox at heart of human existence. We are machines built by selfish replicators, yet we possess the capacity for selfless love, for art that serves no survival purpose, for scientific truth pursued regardless of utility. We can help strangers who share none of our genes and dedicate our lives to causes that reduce our reproductive success. Your genes built you to serve them. Your memes colonized your mind to replicate themselves. But you, the conscious, thinking you, can choose otherwise. You can recognize the puppet strings and decide which ones to cut. In a world where replicators constantly compete for control of your behavior, consciousness offers something revolutionary, the ability to choose your own purpose.